So glad to have you here. What a happy day. Aren't we miracles of God's sovereign free grace? I am going to do my best because Sue Luther's here. She always times me. So 30 minutes and we're out of here, Susie. All right, go. I'm going to be, I hope, the simplest I have ever been. Now, I know simplicity, being plain, doesn't necessarily save anybody. I know that. I know it takes a revelation to believe on Jesus Christ. I know it takes the power of the Spirit of God. But we live in a day of much confusion with regard to Christianity and religion as a whole. I can remember times in my childhood where I just couldn't find an answer to some of my questions. I remember the first time I realized that Jesus and Santa Claus did not know each other. I can remember the first time that I realized that bunnies don't lay eggs. And then there was the whole religious part, Santa Claus coming down the chimney with gifts for good boys and girls, and Jesus being born in a stable. And I remember also feeling that I should like Jesus more, but I wasn't sure I did. You can laugh at that. You probably had those feelings as a child too. Then, of course, there was the whole Good Friday thing where everything was gloom and doom. But on Saturday, we had an egg hunt. The eggs were multicolored, actually tasting a lot like chocolate, and laid by white rabbits. On Easter Sunday, everyone seemed happy. I thought it was because they all got new outfits. I really never understood why the ladies had on hats, but I really liked Easter bonnets as a kid. I remember that. I also noticed many of the people in church on Easter Sunday I never saw again until Christmas service. Well, I'm older now. Things are much clearer with regard to the bottom line, and that's what I want to talk to you about, the bottom line. The world has gotten messier in my 70 years. And religion continues to adorn itself with what I think are rags and rituals. It's horrifying what is taking place in the name of God and religion in our day. My goal this morning is to give light, to strip the camouflage from the message of the Bible. To those of you who, no matter what your station in life may be, whether you're an addict or president of the bank and with us this morning who have almost lost hope in this crazy world, I want you to know that the Star of Bethlehem still shines very bright. Though it seems we are in the 3 hours of darkness on a Friday afternoon in this world, in this nation, and maybe in your life, let me say clearly, this may be Friday, but Sunday morning is coming. For those of you who may not have read your Bible, Sunday morning was the great getting up morning. He arose from the grave. Now, in our scripture reading today, Greg read this morning where Jesus tells us in John 17 that he has a work to do, that the Father has sent him on a business trip and given him a job to do. From the hill Mount Calvary, at the closing of the 3 hours of darkness when the sun refused to shine, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, "It's finished. It's done. It's accomplished." That is the work which the Father gave him to do. was finished and done. On several occasions, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was here on purpose for a purpose. Now let me be very simple and very plain. The Bible is made up of 66 books with one goal and one object: to deliver a message. There's only one message. It is the revelation of God coming to earth to save poor sinners. Many of you talk about the Ten Commandments, and let me be a bit blunt. You don't have them memorized and you don't keep them. There are over 600 direct commandments in the Old Testament. Do you know what they are? Then how can you get to heaven by keeping them? This Bible is not about how to go to heaven by works. Be careful about the Ten Commandments. Don't get caught up in the Ten Commandments. If the Ten Commandments do anything at all, they're like a mirror who show to you and I that we have a dirty face. God says, don't do it, and we see we do it. Right? The second thing that I would say to you today is the Old Testament declares somebody's coming. The New Testament declares that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. That God invaded history. What a message. What a truth. And we have every indication of why God came to earth. Listen, if you could save yourself, God would not have come to earth. God did not come to earth to make Baptists or Catholics. He came to save rebels who could not save themselves. We have indication of what that work was when John the Baptist was standing one day by the river in John chapter 2. Jesus came walking by. And John made a big mistake because he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the Bible says that they left the Baptist and followed Jesus. You Baptists won't like that joke, but at any rate, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God? Lamb of God. How does that connect with who this man Jesus is? Oh, he's the sacrificial lamb. This message of the Bible is very clear. That Jesus Christ is a substitute. That he is a sacrificial lamb. That he came to die in our stead and in our room and in our place and take our sins away. You see, sin is against God. I don't know, we've almost become we're very fuzzy in our country today and throughout the world with regard to what sin is. Sin is against God. God, you see, is holy. Man is born depraved, is a sinner, and cannot save himself. The Bible says we're without strength when we were helpless and hopeless and undone. Christ came to die for the ungodly. The Bible also says this, that every sin must receive a just recompense of reward. I hear people say this quite often, and now that they know a little bit about me, they're learning not to say anything like this. But often people say to me, I just want God to give me what I deserve. Don't worry about that, baby. If that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. As for me, I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. I want grace. So here is the message that we proclaim at Grace Centers of Hope and here at Grace Gospel Fellowship. Did you hear the guy playing the saxophone? You know, I'm picking on you a little bit. And like me, Daryl was brought out of Lodibar. So you, when I tear up around here, I'm listening to somebody sing or somebody pray or somebody give a testimony, and I tear up. I know where God brought them from. From darkness to light. We're all wonders of the grace of God. So Christ came to purchase. He was on a definite mission to pay the price. Did he pay it for you? Say, well, how can I know? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He just didn't die for everybody in a general way. He died in particular. And those who come to Him and come to Him by faith can rest assured their debt is paid in full. That there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We are saved by His doing and dying. By His doing and dying. You see, you had a debt you couldn't pay. And a righteousness that you could not produce. All of our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are filthy rags. We had Bill Davis's funeral here. And I was telling how, just last Saturday, and I was telling the audience how Bill used to say to me on the golf course, I'm a good person, aren't I, Pastor? I go, no, Bill, you're a sinner, like the rest of us. And he'd say, you know, I just don't quite get that. But he did get it before he died. I mean, he really did. He trusted Christ. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short, and Christ came and died for sinners. Now, if you're a good person, you're in the wrong church. Because, just look at us. What a mess. But we've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Somebody this week, several of you have insinuated or at least made note that Miss Pam died August 20th. And her birthday was April 3rd, and she celebrated her 40th birthday. Is that right? 40th. People have said to me, Pastor, you must believe in miracles. Your wife died and is alive. I said, not only do I believe she's died and alive, but I believe Jesus died and got up out of the grave, was buried and got up out of the grave. He conquered death. And that's why we're here today, not to be religious, but to celebrate this truth. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. My Savior is alive. In fact, I talked to Him very early this morning, and everything's okay. Everything's okay. That's why He died, to save us. And that's the good news. And what happens is this. Look at what religion is doing. The Muslims, ISIS, they're all doing it in the name of God. Their God. That's not my God. That's not the Christian God. The Christian knows this. That Jesus Christ died on the tree of the cross in their room stead in place, went down into the grave and got up the third day, ascended back into heaven, and there He sits as our attorney. Any Christians here need an attorney at God's right hand? I do. The rest of you lying, you've all messed up. No matter what your profession of faith is, no matter what denomination you are, You need a lawyer. You probably thought enough during church service already. If it were by works, we'd all go to hell. You've already accused me of lying. He's not going to quit early. It's not going to be short. Here's what the scripture says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God that give us up the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that great? We're living in mess, and I personally believe, according to what I know from Scripture, it's going to get worse. ISIS will probably visit the United States of America. We're going to see things happen in the Middle East that we have never seen before. I believe that's going to happen. But you know what? My heart is not really troubled. You know, the truth is, I'm like the rabbit who got caught and says, don't throw me in the briar patch. The rabbit loves the briar patch. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The only thing you can do to me is take my physical life. As soon as I leave here, I'm with the Lord. And it gets gooder and gooder thereafter. I'm glad this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I have a good hope that's steadfast and sure. Listen, when I die, I'm not dead like the dog Rover, dead all over. I'm headed to heaven. Amen. It gets better. So here's the Christian life. I'm closing, in case you don't know. I'm closing. I'm going to just do a quick review, but I am closing. Who are Christians? They are people who have been quickened by the Spirit of God and given spiritual life. And they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And their hope is in nothing else. Their hope is not because they're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans, Church of God in Christ, Assembly of God, hallelujah, Pentecostal. We're trusting Jesus Christ alone. Here's what the Bible says. For by grace, unmerited favor, are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Think about what a miracle this is. I have a few degrees. I have a few, so I've gone to school a little bit. And here's what I actually believe. That God came to earth. That's a miracle. I believe that a virgin conceived. That's a bigger miracle. Joseph believed that too. Have you ever thought about Joe? I think Joe must have had some thoughts when the angel first came to him and said, the girl you're engaged to is pregnant. What a miracle it is to believe. Somebody goes, you know, Pastor, you preach that faith in Christ, just trust Christ, your life changes, you just preach that. You know, you just said, that's really too simple. Well, if it's so simple, why don't you do it? I actually believe that a virgin conceived, God in human flesh, gave birth, that he was a perfect man on this earth. Always obeyed his heavenly Father, weaved a robe of righteousness that was imputed to me. I stand before God today just judicially, just as if I'd never sinned. I am not guilty because of Jesus Christ. I'm as good as God in Christ. It was imputed. It was accredited to my account. And then he went up on Calvary. and bear my sins as in his own body on the tree, and God punished him in my place. And my debt is paid. And when he got through paying my debt, he said, it's finished, it's accomplished, it's done. Now what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We see miracles here happen in that way. Most of this crowd today, or many in here, have been gloriously transformed. Your life has been changed. And it's all because of the one who sits at the right hand of God. And he's going to take you all the way. I love those passages, and I believe this in these dark days when I see, the whole Muslim movement, the ISIS, the hate, the malice. You know, Christians are not haters. Christians don't cut people's heads off because they're not Christians. Amen. We don't do that. Actually, what we do is, after we're converted, we start giving back. We want to be like our master. So we start telling everybody, I was worse than you, and he saved me. If he saved me, he saved you. Though your sins be as scarlet, black as all hell, he'll wash them white as snow. Do you know that all the blessings that we are receiving were all planned and predetermined before the foundation of the world? Blessings, how come you got quiet on that? Blessings there are no accidents with God. You didn't get lucky. You didn't get lucky. There's nobody lucky. You're blessed. And God blessed you on purpose for a purpose. The empty tomb. There's no religion in the world like Christianity. Buddha's dead and gone. Muhammad's dead and gone. Has a few crazy followers in the sense of ISIS and those folks. It's not true of Christians. It's a glorious thing to be a child of God. And look what's happening here. Miracles. Yes, we believe in a resurrection. Yes, we celebrate it today. Yes, we have a living Savior. Now, very simply, you came in here an unbeliever. If the Spirit of God would touch your heart today and give you life, you would trust Christ. I wonder if he has. Maybe some of you in here have never been in church before. This is your first time. And the only reason you're here is because they sent you over from across the street. You're fresh out of the crack house. Maybe fresh out of the whorehouse. Prostitutes. Drug addicts. Maybe you're a filthy, self-righteous church person. The blood of Christ can make you whole too. Amen. I doubt that there is much that God rejects more than self-righteousness. Because the whole message is he came to save people who are not righteous. That's the message of the Bible. That he came to deliver us from the pit. And I want to encourage you. Right now, maybe you're battling. I mean, on your inside, you're so full of fear. You know you're a mess. You know what I've said is true with regard to sinnership. You know you're a mess. Maybe you're addicted. Can't get loose from the demon. I was reading last night about those that are addicted to heroin. What a horrible, horrible struggle they have to get free, even physically. 10 times worse, the worst flu that you've ever had physically. Jesus Christ can deliver you from that and save you from that. In today's world that's gone crazy, you want some peace? You want some joy? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you're doing here, and you know where you're headed when you die. and you can say, it's well with my soul. You can know that there is no condemnation for you. There's no hell for you. And that God has a plan for you. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. Let's stand and praise a risen Savior. And say to the world, He's Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord.